Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. This is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. And I would like to first start off by welcoming each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to this podcast today. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience. First of all, let's do some housekeeping. Please go to Wiser Living, that's WeiserLiving.com. And on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, and services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products at wiserliving.com. So do take a look at each one of these at your convenience. So check out wiserliving.com, subscribe to Wiser Living TV, follow us at Wiser Living Radio, like us at facebook.com/Wiser Living, and you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also Pinterest. Okay, thank you very much. As I was going through that, I was thinking about the topic of the, or at least we're part two of the brain. I was thinking about brain fog as I was kind of like talking about Wiser Living TV, go to wiserliving.com. You know, Pinterest and Google Plus and things like that, you know, just saying that off the top of your head. Sometimes, you know, when you think about brain fog or brain fatigue, it can be mild to moderate to severe. It could be any one or all of these episodes of mental confusion that can strike without warning. Brain fatigue is when there's a lack of focus, a poor memory, poor recall and mental sharpness. You don't have that sharpness there. A lot of times individuals will take a test and, you know, they study real hard and they get enough sleep and then they'll have this mental fog or they can't get the answer. They study this in their brain, but it won't release itself so you can answer the right, letter on the multiple choice test or true and false, or even worse, if it's a practical where it's you have to, you know, you pull a card and you look at the question and you have to, like, give the answer. You see, you feel like you just can't think, which can not only be a bit frustrating, but even frightening. I mean, I've been in that spot before. You know, most of us have. You know, most of us have periods when we are feeling fuzzy or off-center. In fact, we don't have the clarity we need. So we go off to our favorite coffee house and load up on caffeine and sugar, which works for a few hours. It does work. And then you need another one because you need another boost because it starts fading. It starts going down a hill, and you start feeling this lethargy. But what causes brain fog? Well, you can temporarily suffer with a foggy brain from dehydration, food allergies, from lack of sleep, from an electrolyte imbalance after heavy exercise, or from low blood sugar, from seasonal allergies. You can also suffer from a foggy brain due to medications, or it can be a symptom of menopause. You know, sometimes brain fog symptoms are due to a more serious conditions such as mercury poisoning, hormonal imbalances, depression, fibromyalgia, or hyper or hypothyroidism. So the foods you eat could be a cause if you look at all of the dietary advice that's out there in the marketplace today. I mean, there's so much advice out there. It's like, okay, what do I eat? And how much of what I want can I eat? I mean, it's all kinds of diets, all kinds of foods you should eat because it has this nutrient in it and that nutrient in it. I mean, if you compile most of that information, which I have, I mean, there's no way you can eat all of that food. Matter of fact, a lot of people, I guess they do, and they eat too much food, get too many calories, and you know what that leads to. That's which is weight gain, which is another. The food you eat could be the cause of your brain fog. And the best diet for your brain can actually be summed up in three words. I mean, I could say these three words, and then I could just stop the program today and just, end it right there. Three words. And those three words are eat real food. Let me say that again. Eat real food, which means you should separate yourself from most of the processed food in the market. Your brain needs three groups, macronutrient groups. Three. And most of you already know that, know what it is. It needs protein. Why does it need proteins? Well, it needs proteins for neurotransmitter production. Okay, so you don't know what a neurotransmitter for your nerves. You need protein, number one, for your nerves. I know most of us, we know we need it for our muscles, but how many of you think about you needing it for your nerves? Your brain needs complex carbohydrates for steady brain glucose levels. Isn't that interesting? It needs complex carbohydrates. Matter of fact, if you consume any type of sugar on an empty stomach, say like in the morning, your brain is going to take most of the sugar like right away because it needs it. Why? For steady brain glucose levels. And your brain needs healthy fats. So a lot of people for years, even look decades, a couple of decades, were on the low fat, high whatever program, low fat, no fat. And as a result of that, we have a lot of issues from just like, brain fog to not remembering anything, like Alzheimer's. So if you want to attain mental clarity, you will need protein, complex carbohydrates, and healthy fats from whole, real food. And you just can't eat just the food and real food technology supplementation. So you got to have both. 63 million Americans complain of sleeping problems. If you have brain fog, you're not getting rest when you sleep. So when you finally get to sleep, experience brain fog in the next day because you're not really getting rest. And also, if your brain is not getting rest, then your physical body is gonna surface. There are gonna be problems that's gonna surface. And while you sleep, cerebral fluid actually clears your brain of debris or stuff that doesn't belong there. It's like when you are having a dream. Your brain is going through the process of storing or filing away information. But when you are having a nightmare, your brain is actually getting rid of the information you don't need. So lack of sleep affects your ability to remember what you learned the previous day. And that's just for me, because a lot of people have insomnia. You can't change something you don't know anything about. If you are physically or emotionally distressed but don't understand how your body and mind are connected, you won't be able to do anything about it. If your thought life is toxic, you have toxic memories physically built into your mind. And the chemicals that tag along with those toxic thoughts are traveling through your body in a multitude of feedback loops. So instead of having harmonious thoughts and feelings, thoughts create discord. It creates discord in your body, creating toxic waste, which produces stress responses in your body. So most of the time, you aren't even aware of the toxic buildup or this toxic waste buildup in these complex systems that runs your physical body. And that's why we end up treating the symptom and not going to the cause, which is in your brain. But if you don't deal with it and it's left unchecked, it creates an emotional block, or actually not only a block, it creates something dynamic like an emotional black hole that moves your body slowly but steadily towards ill health at best and premature death. Digest that for a moment. The long-term effects may take years to develop and take hold, but during that time, you will suffer illnesses and aches and pain that you will not trace back to your brain. Your family and friends, they'll convince you that you need to take pills such as antidepressants, tranquilizers, sleeping tablets, or painkillers. They'll tell you, or you'll tell yourself, you need to see a doctor or physical therapist or other professionals, and during all that time, you will be deaf to all of the signals your body is yelling at you, trying to get you to wake up and take notice before it's too late. So what am I saying here? Well, I can say it in one word. Six letters. And you hear it all the time. Stress. 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 Stress is the body and mind response to any pressure that disrupts the body's normal feedback loops. It's an unmanaged reaction that happens whether you like it or not. Stress in and of itself is not that bad. It's not all that bad, but because it can be motivating, directing, and empowering. However, as the late Jim Rohn used to say, however, it can also be demoralizing, demotivating, and draining. Any stress, and I mean any stress, whether it ends up being good or bad for your body, begins with a trigger that stimulates many reactions inside of your body. This stressor becomes a negative trigger when the stimulus threatens your emotional and physical status quo. A stressor can be external or it can be internal. And, you know, whether it's external or internal, it can come from a thought that's stored deep within your memory, deep inside your memory. And toxic stressors are activated by another single word, fear, F-E-A-R. Fear. So fear is the root of all stress. It's like when a person is diagnosed with cancer. The word cancer is kind of like it's just a word, but that word is the most feared word probably in the English language, probably any language. And research shows that fear triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses, and it activates more than 30 different hormones and neurotransmitters. And while they may originate externally, all stressors eventually become internal because everything you see, everything you hear, and everything you feel becomes part of your thought life. It all settles in the library of your brain. So when your thoughts go wrong, your emotions rule. And to overcome that, you need to learn to rule your emotions with wisdom and rational thinking. Remember, fear is the root of stress. Fear enters the mind as a thought. You experience physiological changes that occur all the way down to the cellular level. And this allows stress to cause negative and damaging alterations in your cells. So if the cell is damaged, then the organ eventually is going to be damaged, which means your system is going to be damaged. So don't waste another minute thinking stress and negative emotions are all just in your brain. It may start there, but it's going to end up where? Distal from your brain, which is your body. So the central nervous system in your brain is a main target on the pathway made by your toxic thoughts and emotions. So your nervous system is key here. You know, once your body is truly in stress mode, and the hormone or hormones from your adrenal glands, well, at least it's one hormone. Now, let me focus on this one hormone, cortisol. Some of you would know it when you get a cortisone shot or something like that. Cortisol, if this is flowing, you know, through your body, you know, part of your nerves start to shrink. You know, the chemical balance in your brain goes haywire. You know, typical problems from this include depression, phobias, panic attacks, fatigue, lethargy, exhaustion. I mean, fatigue, lethargy, and exhaustion. It just seems like you just wrap it into one word, but it's three. That's how serious it is. Insomnia, you won't be able to sleep. Anxiety, foggy thinking, lack of creativity, headaches, including migraines. You know, including migraine headaches that are due to the expansion of blood vessels in the brain, and you know, poor memory is part of that. Now, part of why toxic thoughts affect your central nervous system is the way the emotional pain you experience turns into physical pain. Research shows that the constriction or narrowing of blood vessels, it actually causes migraines and painful back spasms from reduced blood flow and oxygen flow to the muscles. I've kind of experienced that, in the past. Because of the stress, sometimes when that stress gets so intense, it takes, you don't get oxygen to a certain part of your body, the weakest part of your body, and then bang, you have a problem. It can turn it as a spasm. It's like, well, I didn't even do anything. I didn't lift anything, and you have a back spasm. Now, this then causes feelings of numbness and pins and needles in your extremities. And over time, this constriction leads to a buildup of toxic waste in the muscles, which may be diagnosed as fibromyalgia or fibrositis, which is an inflammation of fibrous tissue, or repetitive stress injury. You know, every time your stress level goes up, you get injured. So this probably helps to explain why comments like, you know, he's a pain in the neck when somebody irritates you, and my heart aches in response to anger. Now, these are not just figurative expressions. They are literal. You actually feel them. So let me move to the digestive system. Your digestive system is as important as any other bodily system, and unfortunately just as susceptible to attack along this toxic pathway that's coming from your brain. Its normal function is to digest, which you put in your mouth, which most of us know. Under normal conditions, it works hard to help you get as many nutrients as possible from everything you eat and drink to fire up all of your bodily processes and keep your organs in excellent health. There's a lot of research available on how food actually affects your mood, and scientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, they were among the first to document it, but many others, including researchers at Harvard Medical School, have followed suit. And an example of this is carbohydrates such as pasta, bread, cakes, and cookies. These are called comfort foods because they boost a powerful brain chemical called serotonin. Serotonin is involved in good mood. You know, it gives you that happy, calm feeling. You know, the comfort doesn't last long, though. That's the problem. It doesn't last long enough. So within 20 minutes of eating processed carbohydrates, all the benefits go away. They just dissipate. And there's evidence showing that your thoughts and emotions can cause even the best of comfort foods to become toxic to your body, thanks to the undeniable link between your body and your brain. So we do a lot for our body. We'll buy all kinds of supplements and everything and run and do all this stuff, and we're not even addressing the brain. So you're basically not only wasting your time, you're wasting your money. You got to do both. Dietitians and nutritionists will tell you, let me correct that. They should tell you never to eat when you are angry. Never eat when you are angry. It's almost as if anger seeps into the food you eat as your body tries to digest it. Operative word, tries. So, you know, I hope that now you are becoming aware of all of the stress chemicals that your toxic thoughts and emotions can actually release. And when they are allowed to run unchecked in your digestive system, they create a poisonous cocktail that damages wellness. What damages wellness where? In your body and in your mind. In your body and in your brain. In your brain, in your mind. It's going to damage both. But you'll notice and recognize the body first, because you'll get a symptom, and you'll take something for it, or someone will give you something for it. But if you have foggy thinking, you usually go get something to stimulate it, as opposed to detoxing it. So we'll talk about that a little later. Some of these digestive disorders that start out in your brain due to the effects of toxic thoughts and emotions include constipation, diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. This is from excessive gastric activity or stomach activity. cramping, ulcers, leaky gut syndrome, which is when nutrients leak out of your stomach and colon walls instead of being absorbed into the cell. Irritable bowel syndromes, also called spastic colon, which happens when your intestines either squeeze too hard or not hard enough. This means food moves too slowly or too quickly through the intestines, reducing the possibility of optimal absorption of the nutrients that's in the food. And this list goes on and on and on and on into like fertility problems, stunted growth in children, muscular tension in the neck, the throat, the back, the common cold. That's why people say you catch a cold. Brittle bones. And it goes on. But the good news is science clearly links your thoughts and emotions to your physical and mental well-being. The more you manage your thought life, the more you manage your emotions, the more you learn to listen and to follow your thoughts and direct and deal constructively with them, the more educated, balanced, coherent, and life-giving your emotions will become. You know, I think it goes without saying that making your thought life life-giving as opposed to life-threatening means you will be far less likely to suffer sickness and disease. Maybe I should say that one more time, because I just got this feeling about this, because this is really heavy. This is a heavy subject, obviously, because, you know, in order to do this broadcast, I have to think. I have to talk. And it's not coming from my toe or my foot or hand. It's actually coming from my brain. So that good news, the good news is science has linked those two entities, thought and emotions, to your physical and mental well-being. So if you want physical and mental well, if you want physical well-being, you've got to have mental well-being. So the more you listen, the more you learn to follow your thoughts and direct and deal constructively with them, it's got to be constructive, the more educated, balanced, the more coherent and life-giving your emotions, the emotions will be. Life-giving, not life-threatening. So let me give you 13 simple techniques to revolutionize your life by changing your thinking. Mastering your thought life. You know, mastering your thought life is a lifelong process. It's not a take this for that kind of thing. You do it until you got mental sharpness and then you stop doing. No, you have to do this for the rest of your life. So don't play around with it. You know, it has no end, but it does start, and it starts right here. So I hope you have a pen and paper, because it starts right here. If you think this program is worthy of you writing it down. So I'm giving you some time to fish out something to write with and to write on. So 13 steps. And remember, starting right here, there's no end to it. It's a lifelong process. And the beginning lies in consciously deciding, basically making a decision to change the way you think. And once you make that change, the results will last forever. Once you make that change, once you make the decision or decide to make the change in how you think, once you do that, it'll last. The results, at least, will last forever. So step one, consciously control your thoughts. And it may sound simple, but you know there's a lot of chatter going on inside your head. And you know something is talking to you because you hear it. You want to consciously control your thoughts. And this is the main step. It's not the first step. It's the main step. So get rid of those toxic thoughts and get rid of those toxic emotions. You know, ditch the unrealistic thinking. You know, make a conscious decision to accept a thought if it's good, or rejecting it if it's bad for you. It's almost like that simple. If it's bad for you, cancel. Just cancel it out. Because once you say cancel, or I don't want that thought, or a lot of times someone will say something that I don't agree with, is negative, it's just plain negative, and I'll just say calmly, that's your confession, not mine. So my brain got that. Oh, that's wherever that came from. My brain is saying, don't deposit this in the vault. Don't put this in the library. Get rid of it. So that's step one. Control your thoughts. You have to be conscious of that. Step two, frame your world with your words. Frame your world with your words. And you see, if you watch television, it's telling you their vision. So I'm saying tell your own vision. So frame your world with your words, the words you speak. You know, feed back into your brain, reinforcing the memory that where it came from. So when you make negative statements, you release negative chemicals. Negative statements release negative chemicals, which leads to negative memories that grow stronger and stronger and stronger and become negative strongholds that control your attitude and your life. Step three, express your emotions. Don't keep them hidden inside your brain. When you express your emotions, you allow the free flow of nerve peptides that allow all of your body systems to function as a whole. That's one I need to work on time and time. Step four, take responsibility and take control. This includes lifestyle changes, good nutrition. Step five, dream and journal your dream. We got to write again, so a lot of people don't like writing things, you know, because they don't write down their goals. You hear that all the time. Dream and journal your dreams. This will increase blood flow in your brain and help to detoxify it. Wow. That's a nugget in and of itself. Step six, think forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness leads to the ability to love. So think forgiveness. Step seven, tune in to your heart. Tune into your heart, which is tuning into the true power of love. Now, this will change the activity of your nervous system, your immune system, your hormonal system, your brain, and your heart. So develop an attitude of gratitude. Now you know the science behind it. You've heard it all the time. Now I just gave you the science behind it. Step eight, hug somebody. That's easy. You know, somebody you know, obviously. A vast body of research shows that touch releases endorphins and enkephalins, these happy hormones from the brain, which break the negative feedback loops. Interesting, huh? Step nine, play and laugh. Play and laugh. It's making me laugh. Play and laugh. Step 10, exercise. I know you don't like it. You coming up? Some of you coming up with excuses right now. Exercise. Why? Because it increases blood flow. It nourishes the brain and the organ system. It nourishes the brain and organ system. Not only that, it also cleanses the brain and organ system. Step 11, diet. You need to eat well to feed your brain properly. Step 12, you are a spiritual being. So don't ignore the spiritual aspect. No healing of toxic waste in your mind and body will be complete unless you address this spirituality. So get in touch with your creator. Step 13, the last one. Take a deep breath through your nose and out through your mouth. Relax. Rush, rush, rush. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Busy, busy, busy. Learn to balance your work and rest before it's too late. Before it's too late. Stretch, pray, meditate, sleep, relax. Do whatever it takes to relax. Thoughts can de-stress you, make you clever, calm, and control your emotions, or they can do just the opposite. So go to wiserliving.com, check us out on Wiser TV, Wiser Living Radio, Facebook, /Wiser Living. You can also connect with us on Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. We'll see you next time.